Well, praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see y'all out this evening. I'm believing for God, excuse me, do great and mighty works. Amen. He's a God that never stops. Never stops performing miracles, never stops doing whatever we need to have done. Never stops surprising us. Amen. God has been doing something really fantastic through this whole revival, like he told me he would. And he said, once it starts, it's not going to stop. Tonight I'm going to teach on a rock that began to sink slowly, but we have our rock, which we're going to leave there for the time being. And Brother Brett and Nancy were going to do a deliverance today. And the gentleman said, what do you have that? It was down there. What do you have that rock sitting there for? And what happened? I don't like to tell anything secondhand because I get it wrong.
He asked me, he said, what's that rock for? And I told him, you know, that Pastor Barbara had used it multiple times during services, extremely anointed. And I looked at him, I gave him a funny look, and I said, why don't you get up there and find out? So he said, really? And I was like, yeah. So he took his shoes off and he got on the rock and he had the most amazing deliverance, and he got slain out. And then we moved the rock over and put his wife on, and she also got delivered today. So we just give God all the glory, and they stayed on the floor for about an hour and a half, and then we finished up the deliverance on the young man, and God just moved amazingly.
The story behind my rock, that for you that don't know it, years ago when I started a church and home, I was trying to be dramatic with my messages, you know. I quit that in a hurry. But I was walking around trying to figure out what I could do. I walked around my house praying, trying to figure out what I could do dramatic that night for the service. And I have these rocks that I brought from Pennsylvania, and the creeks are all through my flower beds. And I thought, I know, I'll take that rock in there, and at the end, I'll jump on it, you know, and be dramatic. Well, I brought the rock in and laid it down, and I looked at it that night, and it had high heels on, and I thought, if I jump on that rock, I'm going to slide and fall. So I never did jump on it, but instead I had the people stand on it. And God just performed miracle after miracle with that rock. And this one person said, there's nothing to that rock. You're just falling just on your own. So I said, well, get up on it and try it. And they got up and they glued to it. They didn't get slain, but they got glued to it, and they couldn't get off of it for a while. So the rock's been with me ever since I started my ministry. It's greatly anointed, and God said, I want you to use the rock tonight. So tonight we're going to use the rock at the end of the service. Amen. Greatly anointed rock. See, God can use anything. Simple rock out of a creek that came Pennsylvania to my yard, and then it ended up in the church. So, you know, don't put God in a box. Let him use what he wants to. Use my mind to think about this rock, and, you know, then I decided not to do that, but God decided he was going to use it. So whatever it is God's asking you, well, you know, you might think of doing, you know, because God's always told me, whatever you place your hands to do, I will do it. And, you know, Sister Astrid, when God was having me minister, you know, and I was, you know, God would use me, and he would say, I am. And I'm thinking, I can't talk like that. You know, it sounded like I thought I was God. And I knew something was with me, but I thank you for sharing that you saw the angels. Amen. Well, Father, I thank you for this revival. I thank you for this word for tonight. Now, I want you to open every heart, every ear. I want them to hear and what you were saying tonight. And I want them to receive the blessing and the anointing that's on it. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. A rock that began to sink slowly. Let's go to Matthew 14:13. When Jesus heard what happened to John, you know, John the Baptist had his head cut off right before that. So when Jesus heard what happened to John, he left in a boat. He went alone to a place where no one lived. But the people heard that Jesus had left, so they left their towns and followed him. They went by land to the same place he went. When Jesus got out of the boat, he saw a large crowd of people. He felt sorry for them, and he healed the ones who were sick. Late that afternoon, he just didn't heal some of them. It said he healed those who were sick, right? Late that afternoon, the followers came to Jesus and said, no one lives in this place, and it is already late. Send the people away so they can go to the towns and buy food for themselves. Jesus said, the people don't need to go away. You give them some food to eat. The followers answered, but we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus said, bring the bread and the fish to me. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. He looked into the sky and thanked God for the food. Then he broke the bread into pieces, which he gave to the followers, and they gave the food to the people. Everyone ate until they were full. When they finished eating, the followers filled 12 baskets with the pieces of food that were not eaten. There were about 5,000 men there who ate. There were also women and children who ate. Then Jesus made the followers get into the boat. He told them to go to the other side of the lake. He said he would come later. He stayed there to tell everyone they could go home. After Jesus said goodbye to the people, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. It was late, and he was there alone. By this time, the boat was already a long way from shore. Since the wind was blowing against it, the boat was having trouble because of the waves. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus' followers were still in the boat. Jesus came to them. He was walking on the water. When they saw him walking on the water, it scared them. It's a ghost, they said, screaming in fear. But Jesus quickly spoke to them. He said, don't worry, it's me. Don't be afraid. Peter said, Lord, if that is really you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come, Peter. Then Peter left the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. See, Jesus said, if that is really you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come, Peter. Then Peter left the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. But while Peter was walking on the water, he saw the wind and the waves. He was afraid and began sinking into the water. He shouted, Lord, save me. Then Jesus caught Peter with his hand. He said, your faith is small. Why did you doubt? After Peter and Jesus were in the boat, the wind stopped. Then the followers in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, you really are the Son of God. Now let's stop there. You know, God told me to preach this sermon, get this sermon together. But haven't I been talking about being water walkers? Hasn't God been dealing with us about becoming water walkers? Water walkers are miracle workers. So, you know, God was leading us up to this day. Are you listening? So tonight, God wants you to get it ingrained in your spirit that you are a water walker, which is a miracle carrier. God makes the miracles, but you are a vessel that God is going to work through to perform these miracles. The reason why you have come here and said every day in these services is because God is grooming you for your ministry now. And what you're going to be doing is you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles occurring wherever you go. Are you listening here? This revival is so very important. My health has been attacked severely. I mean, after God used me like he did the other night, I was terribly sick the next day. And I've been sick ever since. But I know that I know that I know it's because Satan is very angry with me. And I know this because God's told me this too. And he is furious with me and he's trying to stop me. But I am unstoppable. Come on. Each one of you in here today, you need to tell the devil, I am unstoppable. And no matter what he throws at you, say, I'm going on. You can't destroy me. All right? Each one of you, I want you to tell the devil, I am unstoppable. I don't care what you throw in my path, I'm going forth. All right? Now let's read Charles Swindoll in his book, 3 Steps Forward and 2 Steps Back, tells a story about a farmer who wanted to impress his hunting buddies. So he went out, this farmer went out and bought the smartest, most expensive hunting dog he could find. He trained this dog to do things no other dog on earth could do. Impossible feats that would surely amaze anyone. Then he invited his neighbors to go duck hunting with him. After a long, patient wait in the boat, a group of ducks flew over and the hunters were able to shoot a few of them down. Several ducks fell in the water. The farmer looked at the dog and said, go get 'em. The dog leaped out of the boat, walked on the water, and picked up a bird and returned to the boat. As soon as he dropped the duck in the boat, he trotted off across the water again and grabbed another duck and brought it back to the boat. The owner kind of swelled up with pride as his dog walked across the water. and retrieved each of the birds one by one. Kind of smugly, he looked at one of his buddies and asked, "Do you notice anything unusual about my dog?" One of them sat back and rubbed his chin and thought about it for a little while and finally said, "Yeah, come to think of it, I do. That stupid dog doesn't know how to swim, does he?" Amen. So the following story that we're talking about here is about Peter's walking on and sinking in the water. We must think carefully about this because in following Jesus, we are called to do essentially the very same thing that Peter did. In Mark 6:47 says, "That night the boat was still in the middle of the lake. Jesus was alone on the land. He saw the boat far away on the lake, and he saw the followers working hard to row the boat. The wind was blowing against them. Sometime between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus went out to the boat." Look what he did here. "Walking on the water. He continued walking until he was almost past the boat. But the followers saw Jesus walking on the water. They thought he was a ghost, and they started screaming. It scared them all to see him, but he spoke to them and said, 'Don't worry, it's me. Don't be afraid.' When he got into the boat with the followers, the wind stopped. The followers were completely amazed. They could not believe what happened. It was like the miracle he did with the bread, and they still didn't understand what that meant." Now, here was Jesus walking on the water, and it says he walked almost past the boat. It wasn't until they cried out to him that he stopped. You hear this? So it could be in your situations, Jesus is waiting for you to cry out to him so he can help you. And if you notice there in verse 51, it says, when Jesus got into the boat with the followers, the wind stopped. When you put Jesus into your situation, the wind is going to stop. When you get into the eye, that's why I played that song, "The Eye of the Storm." When you get into the eye of the storm, there's no turbulence in the eye of the storm. And in that eye of the storm, you're in safety. And when you cry out to God and ask God to come into your situation, you and him both are in a safe place in the eye of the storm. When we follow what the Lord calls us to do, even if it seems like we would never be able to do it, it can feel like you are walking on water. I mean, when God uses me in spectacular ways the way he does, I feel like I'm a water walker. I feel like there's nothing can ever stop me. And see, this is what you and each one of you will feel too. You'll feel this. You'll just know that you know that you know there's something unique and special about you, and that the devil has no place in you, and you can do anything you want to do. And you can. If you really have trust and faith in God, if you're really following him really super close, there's nothing can stop you. Because God told me, "Daughter, whatever you place your hand to do, I will do it." There's a lot of things I do that I just know that it should be done. And so I speak it forth and God does it. The other night when I used Aaron, I knew Aaron, God showed me he was discouraged. And I said, "Okay, God, I'm going to use Aaron then tonight to minister to the people." And I told him to go do something and he went and did it. And God worked on it. And then I said, "All right, God, now I want him to prophesy to everybody. I want you to anoint him to prophesy to everybody in the room." And so, I just said, use him to prophesy to begin with. And so I would say, "Go prophesy that one. Go prophesy that one. Go prophesy that one." And then I said, "Oh, you know what, God? I think it would be neat if you would anoint him to prophesy to everybody in the room." And I think that's what happened because I had to leave. See, whatever I placed my hand to do, God did. But now Aaron can prophesy. The devil can't stop him now because the anointing to prophesy was placed in him that night. You see this? Now, if God doesn't move upon me, though, like God said to me, Aaron is really discouraged in his walk with me. And so I turned and looked at Aaron and I said, "Okay, God, then I'm going to use him tonight. So you anoint him." You see what I'm saying there? But see, you're going to have to be really walking close to God for God to do that. You know, for him to go ahead and whatever you place your hand to do, daughter, I'll do it. All right. What am I doing? I'm training up leaders. So if I want to use one of you, if I see one of you need to be used to encourage you, I'll say, "Okay, God, I want to use this one tonight." And God just anoints you to do whatever. You can have the same privilege with God. If you're a leader, then you have to be that close to God where God, you can do that too. You have to put encouragement and hope into people. Come on. All right, let's look at the scripture and see what enabled Peter to at least begin to walk on water. So like Peter, we might be able to follow Christ's call in our lives. Let's look at this scripture and see what enabled Peter to at least begin to walk on water. So like Peter, we might be able to follow Christ's call in our lives. One of the first things we learn is that walking on water requires courage. It takes courage to do what I do. Because I said, God, don't let me fall on my face. You know, I could, you know, but I trust God. Matthew 14:27 says, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. When you know that you know that you know that God is calling you, and you know you spent your time in your private little closet with God, then you don't have to be afraid of anything, because you know that God is in control. Amen. All right, number one, we are going to repeatedly find ourselves in circumstances that are scary and that require courage. All right, repeatedly. But notice he doesn't just tell them to be courageous. Look at the reason he gives. He says, it is I. What did God keep saying the other night? I am is here. Those are the same words that God used to declare his name to Moses. I am. You know, when I first started, God said, daughter, as I was for Moses, I will be with you all the days that you follow me. Are you listening? If you're really sinking your heart into God, if you're really, really wanting to follow him with all your heart, he will be with you like he was with Moses. He will be the I am. And he will be with you. I want you to get this in your spirit tonight. This revival is to revive you people so he can send you forth to do the great mighty miracles that need to be done. He's going to use you guys to speak to the world and miracles are going to happen. That's what's going to win the world to Christ. But see, the only way that can happen is if you've already have your love foundation settled in there. You have to have that love foundation. I preached on that till I'm blue in the face. Amen. So you should have your love foundation in place. So Jesus is saying, take courage because it is me, the great I am, God in the flesh. There is no reason to fear when you trust in me and willingly walk with me. Remember years ago, now it's been 10 years, God said, daughter, you don't trust me anymore. I said, yes, I do, Lord. He said, no, you don't. He said, you aren't trusting men, so you aren't trusting me either. Think about that. I had lost all my trust in men because they all proved to me that they don't never do what they say. He said, by doing that, you lost your trust in me. So if you lost your trust in men or women, then you've lost your trust in God. So I had to repent. He told me you need to repent. You have to start trusting people so you can once again trust me. Because he said, I'm in control of your life and I will show you what's going on in people. You can't lead people if you already don't trust them. Are you listening? Come on. We're all dumb sheep, right? We've all been led astray. Everybody needs to be corralled back into the fold. And so if you just allow God to lead, God, and direct you, he will bring your sheep in. You know, bring the sheep that's under you. He will bring them back into the fold. And he'll give you wisdom how to deal with them. All right, no matter what we are facing, is that where I'm at, Nancy? No matter what we are facing, the circumstance we are facing is not catching God by surprise. In fact, sometimes the things we face are the very thing he is going to use to grow us. It was Jesus who sent the disciples into the situation they were in the boat. Didn't he tell them, get in the boat? And that was what he said. Jesus knew there was a storm that was going to come. Jesus knew they would be out there for a while. He knew that they were going to be battling the sea that night. Why did Jesus send them out into a situation that he knew would be difficult and would cost them so much energy and bring about this great fear? It is so they could grow in their faith and learn to be courageous. Remember a couple years ago, God said to me, daughter, from this moment forth, your walk with me is going to be total faith. And it's going to be one day at a time. He said, I'm not going to speak to you and tell you like I used to, everything is going to happen, because I want you to learn to walk by total and complete faith one day at a time. And that's what he placed me into. Until I learned to walk by faith, and he started speaking to me, you know, total faith. Then he started, see, I was so used to him talking to me, he's just going to say what, you know, he's going to tell me everything. Well, that wasn't really faith. And he wanted me to walk in total and complete faith. And thank God I learned my lesson quickly. And now he's talking to me again all the time. Amen. There will be times in our life the Lord is going to send us into a storm. How many of you has God sent into a storm? There isn't one of us in here that he hasn't. All right, there will be times in our life when the Lord is going to send us into a storm. One, so we can grow in our faith and courage. Two, so we can step out in faith in what the Lord is calling us to. Three, so we can better experience the full and abundant life in Christ. Come on. You will need courage in God. You need courage from knowing who God is, that even in your current situation, that he is good. He loves you. He sacrificed greatly for you, and he will be with you. You're going to have to know all these things, leaders, so that when he asks you to do something like start a glow in an area that doesn't even want God, let alone a glow, that you're going to have courage to go forth and do the things he's called you for to do, knowing that he's with you. He already knew everything that was going to happen, how you was going to get dumb at times. Amen. Try to run ahead of him. How people were going to come against you. He knew all that in advance. But he's been working to get you strong. Knowing these things in the midst of the storms of life will help us have the courage to walk on water, to step out into the uncertainties of life and do the things that seem impossible. You know, when I was first saved, God was just there, all right, because he'd been preparing me for years behind the scenes. And I did, and you know, God let me do everything. And I told you before about trying to walk on the mud puddle. I didn't have faith to do that. But as I studied this, I thought that was the dumbest thing I ever tried to do. Walking on water wasn't even what I thought it was all about. Amen. See how dumb I was. You know, but he'd done everything else. I thought at least I can walk on water too, but I did not have the faith. I'd stand there. Have you ever stood there and put my foot like this over the mud puddle? But never put my foot down on the water because I just knew I would sink. I didn't have faith for that. I might still try that though. But we don't only need courage to walk on water. Walking on water requires obedience. It requires obedience. Matthew 14:28 says, Peter said, Lord, if that is really you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come, Peter. Then Peter left the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. He obeyed, right? Obeying God seems so simple. God said, do it. So that is what you do. The reality is that sometimes being obedient is so hard. How many of you run into that? Being obedient is really hard sometimes. All right, here's another story about the rock climbing man. The story is told of a man who is rock climbing and slips and is able to grab onto a branch that is sticking out of the side of the cliff. It is 100 feet up and 100 feet down, and there seems to be no way out. He cries out for help. Is there anyone who can help me? All of a sudden, God speaks from heaven and says, this is God. I will help you. Let go of the branch, and I will catch you. The man looks down and then up and doesn't see anything. Then he cries out, is there anybody with a rope? Isn't that what we do? Yeah. Amen. It sounds so easy to be obedient to the Lord, but it requires courage and desire to be obedient. But why is it so hard? It is hard because obeying Jesus' commands appears risky. See, God doesn't ever show you the complete picture. He said, this is just what I want you to do. And so, you know, if you're like me, you're a little bit nosy and you like to know the whole story, but he doesn't do that. He just says, just do. But as you look at what's around you, the circumstances, you know there's going to be some problems, right? All right, so I said, but why is it so hard? It is hard because obeying Jesus' commands appears risky. We like to see what we are depending on. We are a people who want to walk by sight and not by faith. But 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us, live by faith and not by sight. Now notice something here. Peter trusted who Jesus was and had the courage to obey, and so he steps out of the boat and walks on water. But then he begins to sink. That is because walking on the waters of faith requires not only courage and obedience, but walking on water requires perseverance. Matthew 14:30 says, but while Peter was walking on the water, he saw the wind and the waves. He was afraid and began sinking into the water. He shouted, Lord, save me. He began sinking into the water. Then Jesus caught Peter with his hand and he said, your faith is small. Why did you doubt? Things were going well for Peter, weren't they? He was experiencing God's power working through him to accomplish the impossible. But then he took his eyes off of the Lord. See, this is what we do. He took his eyes off the Lord and put them on the circumstances, and his faith wavered and he doubted what was happening could really be happening. And this is what the church has been going through for years now, and it's time we stopped, every one of us. Let's quit doubting that God can do all things, because he can do all things. He can do the impossible things. Peter, in and of himself, couldn't walk on water. Now listen to this. Peter, in and of himself, couldn't walk on water, but because of his faithfulness and obedience, God allowed him and empowered him to do just that. You see that? That's important to grab a hold of. Peter, in and of himself, couldn't walk on water, but because of his faithfulness, you have to be faithful to God, and obedience, God allowed him and empowered him to do just that. Are you getting this? We're supposed to be water walkers by the time this revival's over, and that's miracle carriers. Peter showed remarkable faith in asking to follow Jesus out on the water. But when he began walking, what held him up? We might quickly assume it was his faith, but that's not accurate. Peter's faith wasn't keeping him afloat. Jesus was. Peter knew that. That's why he didn't just leap out of the boat on his own. He asked Jesus to command him to come. What Jesus did was honor Peter's faith by commanding the water to bear his weight. I'm going to say that, Jesus, make that water bear my weight in that mud puddle. Amen. Command it to listen. If I can speak to the wind and make it stand still, why can't I command that water in the name of Jesus to carry my weight? Because I did do that, you know. The wind was blowing really super hard, and I was trying to fold the tarp that goes on the swimming pool, I was all by myself. You fold this end, you run down, get the other, and by that time the wind has this end on done. Finally I stood still. So I said, wind, in the name of Jesus, cease till I fold this tarp. Just like that whole area I was standing, no wind at all. I just went down and just took my time, fold that little old tarp, you know, up, you know. And just while I was smiling, you know. And when I was finished, the wind started blowing again. So if I can do that, now, you know, I want to encourage you now, because I'm encouraging myself with this little story here. If I can do that, then why can't I speak to the water to hold my weight? Are you listening? I mean, that could be anything you're doing. Peter experienced a few things the other disciples didn't by asking to be getting on the water. Only Peter knew the glory of walking on the water. The other 11 sat in the boat and didn't have no glory about walking on the water. When people walk on the water, when people trust God and experience God's power enabling them to do what they couldn't do otherwise, it marks them. I think Peter carried that memory of water walking to his grave. The wonderful things God has done to me, I'll carry them to my grave. No, I'm not going to die. I'll carry them to the rapture. Because once God touches you, you know, you're never the same. Once he does these miracles in your life, you're never the same. You know, the first thing God ever did to me was, that I know of, was the night I was praying and got in bed. And he said, I heard a voice, get out of bed and get on your knees now. and a bright light shone in my bedroom window. And by then I was up in the air and looking down and saw myself kneeling there praying and saw my husband laying there sleeping. And then Jesus took me on a journey. That's the first thing I remember. But that voice, it was like it was the other night. It scared me and I obeyed it. I quickly got out of bed. Amen. When God speaks to you, you will obey. It'll scare you to pieces. Amen. Only Peter knew that when he sank, Jesus would be there and he was wholly adequate to save. In other words, what I'm saying is it was only Peter that had total and complete faith in God, in Jesus. It was only Peter really understood Jesus. Once we begin to doubt the things the Lord is doing through us, we are going to begin to waver and stumble and sink. That happened to me. I listened to the voices of people. You can't do that. God doesn't do that. You're the devil. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and then I started believing that junk. And so when I started laying hands on people for healing, I would say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Jesus, please heal them. They didn't get healed because that was doubt. That wasn't even faith. And little by little by little, I lost all that faith that God would heal people just by me walking in front of them. You see what I'm saying? I sank. Many of us here tonight have stepped out of the boat onto the waters of faith, trusting in the Lord. But if we are going to maintain our footing and be successful in accomplishing what the Lord wants to do through us, we must persevere in trusting him to work. When we end this here 14 days, I'm trusting God because God said he will not end. I'm trusting God. He's going to be here every time we meet. I'm even believing he's going to be here Tuesday nights and put your hair on end. Amen. You've been fussing about prayer meeting night. Well, I'm expecting him to come in here and rectify y'all. We cannot rely on our past acts of faith. You listening? Our past water walking to keep us moving closer. We need to be taking new steps on the waters of faith that require continued trust in him and an ever-growing relationship with the Lord. Remember what God told me? I kept saying, oh, God, I really would like to have what we used to have. It was wonderful. He said, quit desiring what you used to have, because what I have before you, laying before you, is so much greater than what you're leaving behind. And so what I'm saying here, quit wanting what you used to have. Quit relying on your old faith. We need to be taking new steps on the waters of faith. Be expecting for greater things. Expect the impossible. Ask God to do the impossible. And watch and see what he does. James 1, 2 and 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If we are going to mature and complete, not lacking anything, living the full and abundant life, then we need to persevere. I'm going to quit smoking. Yes, I am. By George, I'm going to quit smoking. So the next morning, you pick up a cigarette. No perseverance. See what I'm saying? I'm not going to drink another drop of liquor. No, I am not. No, I am not. 2 hours later, you're drinking your bottle. No perseverance. See, we have to have perseverance. I'm not going to eat anymore and become a glutton. See, I'll put us on that category too. I'm not going to eat. Teresa come up and say, hey, Mom, look, I just made some banana bread. Would you like a piece? Yeah, sure would. There goes all my stuff I said I wasn't going to do, right? No perseverance. Didn't follow through. This is where Peter failed. This is where we often fail as well. Peter cries out, Lord, save me, and Jesus does. And while Peter did not persevere here, he goes on to be a great leader, walking in faith and persevering. So don't be discouraged tonight if you have not been persevering, because God, in his abundance of mercy, he has been with us and he is using us mightily. Later, we see Peter rejoicing and being flogged for preaching the name of Jesus. That's in Acts 5. Peter came a long way from his first time meeting Jesus to this experience on walking on water to the eventual great leader among the apostles that he would become. All because he continued to keep his eyes on the Lord and was empowered by him to do things that seemed impossible. His shadow healed the sick. Now that's impossible in the natural, but with God all things are possible. All right, lesson number one. Faith is not faith in our faith in Jesus. It is faith in the power of Jesus' word. And Peter had faith in the word come. Lord asked me to come. And Jesus said come. And Peter had faith in that word. But once Peter was outside the safety of the boat on uncharted waters, everything started feeling precarious. Why? Because people don't actually walk on water to begin with. We may be so familiar with the story that the absurdity of walking on water doesn't strike us, but it struck Peter at that moment, and he started to sink. That's why I couldn't walk in that mud puddle. People just don't walk on water, right? But all these other miracles were occurring, but walking on the water was an impossibility in my mind. You understand what I'm saying? Nothing is an impossibility with God. And if you're going to do one thing, then you can do everything through Christ Jesus. He will equip you to do everything you put your hand to do. Everything. But have you ever noticed that Peter the rock didn't sink like a rock? The last time you jumped into a pool, how gradually did you sink? Right? There's something profound going on here in this story. Peter began to sink when his faith shifted from the firmness of Jesus' word to the instability of his circumstance. And when he did, it was Jesus letting him sink slowly. And for Peter, that was grace. Why? Because Peter's sinking produced his cry to Jesus in Matthew 14:30. But while Peter was walking on the water, he saw the wind and the waves. He was afraid and began sinking into the water. He shouted, Lord, save me. I don't know about you. I've drowned 3 times. I don't know about you, but you go down. You go down. You know, you just don't slowly sink down. You go down. And if you jump off of anything, you fall down. You go into the water. But it says Peter was sinking. All right. It quickly got Peter to stop looking to the world or himself as a source of truth and salvation. It got his focus back on the Savior, because then he shouted back, save me. When he did that, Jesus pulled him back up. Matthew 14:31. Then Jesus caught Peter with his hand. He said, your faith is small. Why did you doubt? He could have walked right across that water right onto the bank shore. There are water walkers and there are dry boat riders. Which are you? The water walkers are going to do miracles. The dry boat riders are just going to sit in a pew and do nothing. So, you know, not everybody in this room wants to be a miracle worker. Not everybody in this room wants to walk into a store and have everybody fall out in the spirit because you walked in there. Not everybody in here wants to walk past people, go into the hospitals, empty out the hospital rooms like God said we were going to do. Not everybody wants to do that. And that's okay. But I feel sorry for you. Because you just don't know the excitement and the thrill of God, of watching God use you to perform miracles. It's the most awesome thing you ever wanted to go through. That's why when God had me what he called the winter months, he kept telling me, daughter, please don't die in your winter months. That was the driest time of my life. Because first of all, he started me out with miracle after just plain old miracles. Then he stuck me in a dry place. I thought that was very cruel. I told him, but he didn't really care. Amen. Lesson number two. Did I do lesson number one? Did I miss something here? Lesson number two. Jesus' word is truer and stronger than what we see or feel. All right? And when we doubt that, sometimes he graciously lets us sink to help us refocus. I think we've all been there. Trusting in Jesus and his word over our perceptions is difficult to learn. That's why the Lord takes us through so many different faith testing, faith building experiences. God told me, I'll let you go around this mountain as long as you want to go. And when you stop, I'll be there waiting. So, you know, let's just get faith and just get going with it and quit getting into doubt and unbelief. And when he does, it is never for just our, well, okay, let me go back here. Trusting in Jesus and his word over our perceptions is difficult to learn. That's why the Lord takes us through so many different faith testing, faith building experiences. And when he does, it is never for just our own benefit. He is displaying his power so others' faith will be strengthened also. So whatever you're going through, guys, is for other people to watch you walk your faith out. And it strengthens their faith. And like the rest of the disciples, once Jesus and Peter were back in the boat, we end up saying to the Lord, truly you are the Son of God. Isn't that what the other disciple says? Truly you are the Son of God, Matthew 14:33. In Matthew 14:32, after Peter and Jesus were in the boat, the wind stopped. So notice when Jesus came into their boat, which is the circumstances of life, the wind stopped. So when you ask Jesus into your circumstances, the wind is going to cease. And you won't be in, the storm won't be raging as bad, and you'll be resting in peace with God. The 11 other disciples were kind of boat potatoes. They were willing to follow Jesus, but they wanted him to comfort them in the midst of the storm. Brett? And the storm will strike everybody. I just said that because he's so intently reading when I was up there. All right, I'm sorry. The 11 other disciples were kind of boat potatoes. They were willing to follow Jesus, but they wanted him to comfort them in the midst of the storm. Isn't that like everybody? Don't let me feel any pain here, Lord. And the storm will strike everybody. But the disciples didn't want to risk getting out of the boat, but Peter got out of the boat. You know, as I was studying this, I thought how many times God has said, will you get out of the boat? Remember, he kept asking us to get out of the boat. And he didn't do it. Peter didn't do it just because it would be exciting. His primary reason was because that's where Jesus was. Jesus was out of the boat and on the water. And Jesus is still looking for people who would get out of the boat. When somebody decides to get out of the boat, they are never quite the same. I don't know what this means for you. When we take God's call seriously and have the faith to get out of the boat, something's going to change in your life. It may be quite visible, or nobody may ever know it besides God. But your life will never be the same, and your world will never be the same. Are you listening? And God has been calling us to get out of the boat. And this is what this message is all about. He wants us out of the boat. He wants us to walk on the water. In other words, be vessels that he can perform miracles through. He doesn't want you to be a boat potato. All right? When you fail, and you will fail, all right, because there is a storm out there. The wind is rough and the waves are high. When you fail, Jesus is still wholly adequate to save. When you fail, and you will, because I have, so I know you're going to, you have to know that Jesus is there with his grace and his mercy to uphold you and tell you, come on, get on, keep on going. Amen. But to find out, you have to do one thing. If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. You know, the other night when God was using me and I knelt down to minister to Sister Julie, and I wanted God so desperately to say to her, I want you to move it back here. He said to me, I'm not saying that, and you're not either. She is such a joy, and she just loves the Lord, and she just loves her Father, and she would be such an asset. But God says, don't you say that, because I'm not saying that. Anyway, that was just something I wanted to say. He knows your thoughts, you know. So I said that to say this. It doesn't matter what you desire, it's what God desires. And so what you have to do is you have to be listening to God's voice and do only what God tells you to do. And if you do only what God tells you to do, then you can do it. You have free rule and reign to do anything, because God is able to trust you then. And anything you place your hands to do, God will do it. Come on. See, God knows he can trust me. Does God know he can trust you? We have to ask ourselves these questions. And, you know, I talked all the time about, wouldn't it be nice if God would come down and say, this is my beloved daughter, this is my beloved son, so everybody would know we're beloved. So what happened on the day of the March for Jesus? He sent that man in a tent and called me in there, told me all what God was going to do with me. That was, to me, was a Jesus experience. This is my daughter, and she is beloved. Why wouldn't you want to serve a God like that? I have noticed one thing. Anything I talk about happens. Start watching your walk with God and see what you say and see if it doesn't come to pass. All right? So anyhow, God has been calling us to be water walkers. How many times has God spoken and said, get out of the boat? I don't think you paid any attention to him. We are all called to be water walkers. If you can stand on the rock, you can walk on the water. And the rock tonight is Jesus. So what we're going to do here tonight is we're going to, somebody, Brett, do you want somebody else? Somebody's going to take the rock. They're going to place it down there to the end. Anybody that wants to be a water walker, we're going to have you come up. We're going to have you line up in a straight line here, a straight line right here. And then what we're going to do is we're going to lay the rock there. So if you really want to be a water walker, then I want you to come and stand on the rock tonight.